You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We have, I'm very pleased to say, in the House, at least virtually, Dr. Bruce Bechtel, one of the country's preeminent experts on the so-called Hermit Kingdom, North Korea. The Gulag State is the way I think of it, actually, under the Kim Dynasty. He is the author, most recently, of a book entitled North Korea and Regional Security in the Kim Jong-un Era, A New International Security Dilemma. Of course, a reference to the current Kim, the despot du jour in the North. Among other things, Dr. Bechtel is a professor of political science at Angelo State University. He formerly served in the United States Marine Corps and at the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency as one of the country's duty experts on the intelligence involving the North as well. A man with great cred and capability in this space, and we're always delighted to have him with us. Dr. Bechtel, welcome back.
Frank, it's always great to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure's mine. Well, let's start with what has been developing most especially since the retaliatory strike, which I spoke with Shoshone O'Brien in the previous segment, against the Syrian government in retaliation for its use of chemical weapons. There are a lot of people who think, especially with the movement of the USS Carl Vinson battle group towards Korean waters, that President Trump is bringing a new robustness, shall we say, to the dealings with bad actors like Assad and Kim Jong-un. Give us your thoughts on that, if you would, Dr. Bechtel.
Well, I would agree with you that he has brought a clarity to our policy with North Korea. And I like the fact that Secretary Tillerson said, what's that term the Obama administration used?
Strategic patience. Yeah.
He said that was over. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, as you know, because you're more connected than anybody I know, neither the left nor the right like strategic patience. I mean, the left thought we should be engaging North Korea because apparently all the failed times that had occurred, they thought could be fixed. And the right, of course, wanted to take more active measures against North Korea because of the rogue state activities. Neither of those paths were pursued. We basically didn't do very much. We took sanctions that we didn't enforce. We had no talks with the North Koreans in 8 years. And now here we are, the Trump administration is now in, and it looks like they're taking definitive action.
We're visiting with Dr. Bruce Bechtel, and you were just saying that with the Trump administration now in power, it looks as though they are preparing to take definitive action against North Korea. I don't need to tell you, Dr. Bechtel, from your service on the Korean Peninsula and, of course, monitoring its activities, those of the North, for many, many years, that there's a high pucker factor associated with almost any action one could imagine taking. What do you think the options are?
Well, I think they are taking one of the options that's very important, and that's obviously a show of force from the aircraft carrier group that is moving to waters off the coast of the Korean Peninsula. That's a big deal. I mean, in the past, including under President Obama, we have done things like flown B-52s over, airspace very close to North Korea, et cetera. But a aircraft carrier group, that is a blunt instrument. That just the planes on that aircraft carrier alone could probably take out the North Korean Air Force. It's a big deal. So this show of force shows our resolve, I think, for our allies in South Korea and Japan against any as I said, rogue state behavior that the North Koreans may engage in. But something that didn't get as much attention that the Trump administration has done are sanctions that they put in place recently. This was through the State Department and the Treasury Department as well. And what's important about these sanctions was mentioned in the UN panel of experts regarding North Korea's illicit activity, mostly military proliferation. And in those sanctions, they actually sanctioned non-North Koreans, largely Iranians, who were dealing with North Korea on proliferation. This was something that the Obama administration was very hesitant to do, but as we've seen, the Trump administration has taken this first very important step just squeezing off that economic activity, that illegal, illicit economic activity that helps maintain the regime and allows them to build weapons of mass destruction and to keep their elite happy.
One of the other prime support mechanisms for the regime, in addition to the Iranians, is, of course, communist China. President Trump met last week amidst and largely overshadowed by the exercise in Syria, that with the president of China, namely Xi Jinping. North Korea was supposed to be on their agenda. Prospecto, was it? And what, if anything, came of those conversations, as far as you can tell?
Well, they didn't talk about it a lot, Frank. And as you said, I think the reason why is because, you know, Syria became something that was at the top of the priorities list for the president, our president. They didn't talk about it a lot afterwards. I'm sure they did talk about North Korea. I know that the administration, and as you know, has been very disturbed at the fact that despite China signing on to what everyone agrees are the most intense sanctions that have ever been placed on North Korea by the UN, they just haven't been enforcing those sanctions. And I'm quite sure that that was brought up by the president. And as you know, you've been around longer than I have. The biggest complaint that the United States has always had with China is that they just refuse to put any real pressure on North Korea. That leads to the most important thing, which is if they don't do it, then we're going to have to. And that means going after all those banks, those intermediaries, those phony front companies that exist in China and elsewhere, whether China supports that or not. And one hopes that the president starts to enforce measures like that, largely using sanctions that are already in place and the Patriot Act, Section 311.
Yeah, and the president, as I understand it, has signaled sort of carrot and stick here. One, he has indicated that, as you say, Prospecto, if the Chinese don't pitch in, we will do this unilaterally. And secondly, I gather he is saying if they do pitch in, that he will be more accommodating on some of the efforts he's got in mind for improving the trade imbalance with China. He's already apparently taken off the table designating the Chinese as a currency manipulator, something he had promised repeatedly in the course of the campaign to do. How do you read the state of the diplomacy with China at the moment?
Well, I was frankly surprised and pleased. Obviously, I was pleased about the moves in Syria, too, which obviously had a direct impact on this. But I think President Trump understands that dealing with East Asian nation states is just another art of the deal, as he would say, because I think that, you know, rather than just saying a bunch of negative things to China, which I'm sure were said, using the carrot and the stick may turn out to be the best way that we've dealt with them successfully in a long time. Certainly our economic issues that we have and the huge amount of trade that we have in China is a bigger priority for many people than North Korea. But I think the president realizes, at least everything I've read in the press, realizes that we just cannot ignore North Korea's behavior. It's just become too much of a national security risk in East Asia.
Well, and unfortunately, as again, you know better than anybody, Prospecto, with the advent of intercontinental range missile capabilities, some of which, again, have been enabled by the Chinese. That's a problem for us here at home, too, not just for our friends and allies and forces in Asia. Bruce, we have to leave it at that for the moment. I'm so grateful to you for taking some time with us, as well as for your work in the Political Science Department at Angelo State University. Thank you so much for joining us. Next up, we'll talk with Leo Homan of WND about the refugee jihad and more straight ahead.